Welcome to The Alley Effect with Allison Blythe, authentically living life your way. We all contemplate making changes in our lives that would allow us to live more authentically, but it can be hard to take action. Allison is here to educate, equip, and empower you with the tools you need to start authentically living life your way. Get ready to eradicate your limitations and destructive patterns as you take full responsibility for your own happiness. This show is not just talk. It is conversation for profound self-awareness, acceptance, and appreciation, the key elements to stepping into the power as the creator of your very best life. The Alley Effect with Allison Blythe starts now.
Hey everyone, welcome. You're listening to The Alley Effect with me, Allison Blythe, certified life coach and licensed clinical social worker, authentically living life your way, a show where we dig deep into this concept of authenticity. It seems as though it could be such an easy concept, and yet in today's day and age, we realize that it's actually a lot harder than it seems. You can join me the first and third Thursday of every single month right here on Transformation Talk Radio, as we dig deep into this concept of authenticity, offering actual tools, tips, and resources to help you along the way of authentically living life your way. It is definitely my mission in life to educate, equip, and empower the people that I work with. This is a great opportunity to be able to do that. We have been doing a lot of talk lately about this idea, this misunderstood book that I wrote several years ago at this point. It's an opportunity for us to talk about practical tools and actually have some real talk. And we're going to do this at a new level today. This idea of authenticity, it's how I offered the very first show, this idea of William Shakespeare's "To Thine Own Self Be True." Sounds like an amazing topic, and certainly it should be something that's easy enough, right? Like showing up in the world as ourselves. So why in the world does it get so complicated? What is it that happens that really doesn't allow it to pan out that way at all? We all know that it's definitely not as easy as it sounds, and quite frankly, can be one of the scariest things to show up authentically and vulnerably. It's my hopes that this is an opportunity to show you some opportunities, some help along the way, so that you don't feel quite so overwhelmed, paving this path with actual tools and resources to helping you authentically live life your way. Today, we're going to continue the conversation. We've been using a lot of different building blocks, and we've been rolling along multiple episodes. The last two times, we've talked about this thing called the SOS toolbox. This is a topic very near and dear to my heart as it stemmed from that personal existential crisis I wrote about in Misunderstood. I've mentioned several times this moment in life where I lost my you-know-what over a banana, that crisis point in my life that served as a huge wake-up call to look at what I was doing and the ways that I was functioning and relating in the world. Even as a therapist, with all those degrees on the wall, the certificates that I had had, years of training, learning, and leading hundreds, if not thousands of people through this idea of authenticity, I hit my own wall and had to face some really hard truths about who I was, how I was relating, my lack of boundaries, and even my tangled expectations of people. It was from that crisis point that I set out on my own journey. Kind of everything had hit the fan, kind of burned down, and it was a course I needed to take for myself to learn how to do things very differently. It was hard because there was no roadmap, right? There was no way for me to really understand what I needed to do so differently. It's my hope that Misunderstood is a resource for you, that it offers some insight and maybe some proactive resources so you don't have to learn quite as messy or as painfully as I did. But hey, we have to all walk our own path, right? If you haven't checked it out yet, please feel free to do so. You can visit my website and check out all the material on Misunderstood that's there. I hope you find it as valuable of a resource as other people have. In Misunderstood, I share about several critical topics, and we're going to have some people talk today about each of those topics, helping you understand a little bit more about commodities, recognizing the way you spend your time, energy, and effort, this world focuses so much on money. And yet the hard truth is that we live in a world that really needs to prioritize time, energy, and effort. And the way you spend and budget these can effectively make such a fundamental difference in the quality of your life. And must understood, in the episodes prior, I talked about boundaries, why they're so important and critical to be able to equip you and your walk of authenticity, helping you understand why people get so incredibly confused. There's so much misinformation about boundaries. And then helping you understand the 12 different categories. We talked about physical, emotional, sexual, and verbal boundaries, kind of the basic categories. And then we advanced into understanding financial and material boundaries, time and energy, right? Your commodities, social, and even your connection boundaries, along with food and spiritual. All of those have been covered in past episodes. So do yourself a favor and make sure you get yourself educated and equipped with all of those resources that are available in those past episodes. We're going to be touching on some people's experiences today with some of those tools. We also have addressed the past two episodes, this SOS toolbox, maybe the message of save our souls, save our ships, as many people may know it. My hope is that through this SOS toolbox, you actually have a different frame of reference, that you actually have a sense of self that I like to refer to. This is a toolbox. 10 dynamically designed tools to support you in this idea of navigating day-to-day life, what we all refer to as maybe this adulting concept, that you can feel more equipped in dealing with things like conflict, stress, vulnerability, hard conversations, difficult decisions, and the ability to actually act in your own best interest as you trust yourself to be your own natural guide. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Right? It's like the idea of authenticity. It sounds so basic and so easy. And yet, I don't know about you, but these were not tools that I was well equipped with. This is not information that I learned. With all of the education and training I had, even I didn't know how to advance in some of this work until I had to dig myself out of this turmoil. So what are these SOS toolbox? What are the tools that are in this? And there's 10 that we're going to talk about. Self-anchoring, self-awareness, self-compassion, self-defining, self-honoring, self-permission, self-referencing, self-respect, and finally, self-responsibility. As I've said, if you don't know what we're talking about, go ahead and listen to those past two episodes so that you do have the equipment involved in this SOS toolbox. The last two episodes walked you through each tool specifically. Today, we're going to be taking this learning to a whole nother level. It's one thing to have net head knowledge, to learn about the creator of these, like share and offer her perspective about it. But today we're going to take it home a little bit further as we get the help of a few listeners. These two amazing women have actually taken the time to learn and practice and apply these tools to different experience in their lives. It's been fascinating to introduce them to these tools and watch them in different capacities learn a lot of the material about commodities, about boundaries, and definitely now this SOS toolbox. Today, we're going to hear about their perspective, what worked for them, and how they benefited from this toolbox. So today, ladies, I would like to introduce you. I want to welcome both Lacey and Alex. Hi, ladies.
Hi.
First of all, thanks for taking the time to join me today. You are the first guests here on the Ally Effect, so congratulations.
That's exciting.
Yeah, I know.
That's for big. Sure.
Thank you for taking the time to do this. So in Misunderstood, I wrote about this existential crisis that I found myself in, really this moment where I was kind of like, what in the world is happening? And why am I doing the things that I'm doing? Really this point of like fed upness with people, places, and things. And I wonder, as we open up the floor for each of you today, is there something similar that happened in your life that really brought you to the point of the work in Misunderstood? Or was it something completely different? Who wants to go first?
I can.
Okay.
For me, I don't know that it was necessarily one big event. I think it was more of a lifelong pattern of relationships, friendships, situations where I didn't know how to stand up for myself. And in a lot of cases, didn't even really know that I needed to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can speak to that as well. And it was funny. It was like, I remember in my first session, even I had said like, I have everything right now. Like I have an amazing job. I'm making like a good amount of money to support myself. I live in like a beautiful apartment. I have a boyfriend. And I was so, so lost, like even more than I had ever been in my life. And I thought all these things were going to be super fulfilling and, you know, would complete me, but I was so far from who I was to my core. Wow. And I think that is where this book, like, I was like, oh my God, I'm not alone. Like, this is normal.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Thank you for that. Kind of this idea that you have the culmination of life experiences. As I say, sometimes like I just looked around and I was like, what has happened or who's going to come in and fix all of this? Like I didn't have the tools or the resources to know how to do this. And I appreciate what you say, because like from the outside, everything should be fine, right? So oftentimes people will question, what's wrong with me? I know for me, I got to this point, I had been doing this same behavior for so many years. And then like, suddenly it felt like it wasn't working anymore. So it sounds like you can relate to some of those patterns too.
Definitely.
Yeah. I wonder for you, what was actually going on? Do you care to share any specifics about what was, maybe not names and details like that, but any specific things about what was happening that you started to recognize? Maybe the idea of commodities, understanding boundaries and some of the nuances that work with those. What was going on for you that you felt so drawn to the work of Misunderstood?
So for me, it was a definite pattern of negative romantic relationships. I had gone through a divorce that wasn't pleasant, and I had immediately, you know, not wanting to be alone, thrown myself kind of into a series of relationships that just seemed to progressively get worse. Mm-hmm. And I think after the last one, I kind of took a step back and said, okay, something is wrong. Like, so these people are drawn to me. Like, what is wrong? What, you know, there's got to be some self-responsibility here. What am I doing?
Yeah, yep. I can kind of relate to that because I was similarly in a relationship that I thought was like so meant to be. It was my childhood best friend. It was somebody who everybody was saying, like since we were little, you guys are going to get married. And finally we ended up together. And right off the bat, I thought, oh yeah, this is it. Like, this is perfect. Mm-hmm. But it went south really quickly. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, there must be something wrong with me if I can't even have my best friend love me and look at me and treat me right. Mm-hmm. And I had a hard time even understanding that I was being mistreated. I thought it was stuff that I was doing wrong. Mm-hmm. So I think where the book kind of helped was, it was like a validation of like, no, you are being treated poorly in some sense, but it helped me own my part in it too, which it took me so long to figure out.
Right. And I think it's also hard when you're in it to recognize what it truly is. I mean, I know there were times where I just kept thinking, this is bad, this is so bad, but it wasn't until, you know, kind of sitting there and talking to Allison about it and through a lot of the group work that you realize exactly how bad it was.
Yes, totally.
It sounds like two tools that I hear coming right out of the gate for both of you is this element of self-honesty, like getting real with yourself and just coming to terms with what's actually going on and how often, and I talk about this in the last episode, how often people will try to sell themselves this BS story, thinking that they're the problem, everything on the outside. And I share a story about another client named Toby, this idea that things are so right. So what must be wrong with you? And then the second tool I hear you talking about, which kudos, right, is self-responsibility, because it's easy to point the finger outside or to take the stance that this is all happening to me. And what I hear each of you being able to do is step to this place of self-responsibility to go, what am I doing?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Kudos. Yeah. Not a lot of people can actually step into that personal self-responsibility to take ownership for the consequences. It was really challenging for me to get real about the idea that I was way misusing this concept of kindness and realizing that I was doing it. I was way overspending it and kind of doing it with some tangled expectations of being nice to people. That was such a hard pill to swallow and was very humbling for me to realize that I had been not consciously, but been kind of just calculated in my use of kindness. And I was like, oh my gosh, how did I get so confused about this basic concept this far in life?
That definitely is a big one for me. And I've told this story to you, Allison, but when I was younger, my mom had told me, you know, we were on the beach and we were playing around, and there was this little girl that didn't have any friends around her. And I had all these friends and we were just playing in the sand. And my mom came up to me and said, Al, you should really go, you know, include that girl, like bring her in. So I did. Mm-hmm. And for years, I remained friends with her. Nobody liked her. She was not a very nice person. But I was like, well, I have to, like, this is the right thing to do. Be kind, include everybody. But that's just, it was just energy sucking. And I learned a
100%.
Lot.
Yeah. You bring up another topic, which would be the commodities, right? Understanding. And it's been fascinating to watch the two of you embrace these different commodities and understanding time, energy, and effort. And I'm wondering if you can kind of speak to your experience with learning about the value and how you are spending time, energy, and effort. How about the commodities?
Oh, sure. I mean, for me, the energy commodity has been just learning how, you know, to ration that out has been huge. I'm kind of one of those people where I will give something, you know, 400 times more energy than it actually deserves, to the point where, you know, I have worked myself into a state of franticness trying to deal with something that isn't really mine to own. Wow. And I think that one of my favorite takeaways from all of the work that I've done is just being able to look at a situation and say, I want to give this zero energy, and giving it zero energy.
Yes.
Yeah. Totally. I feel like I've worked so much on it, you know, through my work with Allison and this book, that I've gotten into this state where I'm not even conscious necessarily of like choosing like yes or no. It's just it, when I'm feeling in that flow energy, it just, everything is like rolling, and I'll look back and I'll be like, wow, that was like that flowing energy. And now I'm forcing things way too much. Pause and reevaluate. And that's where the self-awareness comes in too.
Awesome. Yeah. And yet another tool, right? Self-aware, to pay attention to what are you doing and why you're doing it, and really allows you to have eyes wide open into your own types of behavior so that you can recognize, I am spending so much energy on this. And energy is really about the mental and emotional capacity you're willing to offer people, places, and things. And that kindness element of how often we are overspending this dynamic of kindness, thinking that it's the right thing, and yet making us exhausted, depleted, irritable, all that kind of stuff. We need to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to continue this conversation that is rolling along with commodities, boundaries, and next, the SOS toolbox. We're going to address this topic of boundaries a little bit deeper. When we come back, we're going to just keep on rolling with this conversation. You're listening to The Allie Effect, Authentically Living Life Your Way, with me, Allison Blythe, Certified Life Coach and Licensed Clinical Social Worker. We will be right back.
Stop.
Stuck in a roundabout of dysfunction? Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Ober. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Ober. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyober.com. That's drkathyober.com.
As different layers of consciousness unfold in each show, you won't want to miss a second of this. Make sure to tune in to Transmutation Time, Energetic Alchemy for an Amazing Life, every month with Kelly Kay on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To learn more about Kelly and the show, visit www.enlightenedmedicine.com. You have the power to turn trauma into transcendence. Come bring your shadow into the light so you can begin to truly heal and grow today.
We're back here on The Ally Effect, authentically living life your way with me, Allison Blythe, certified life coach and licensed clinical social worker. I want to make sure before we get too much deeper into this material that you have a way to be in touch with me. You can visit my website at any point, AllisonBlythe.com. Check out all the information, lots of information and tools that are available there. If you want to call me and leave me a message, please do so, 859-341-7773. You can always send me an email, AllisonBlythe@live.com. And if you need your daily boost social media connection, please just follow me on any social media platform, Allison Blythe Life Coach. So today we are continuing this conversation that we've been putting a lot of building blocks in together. We have two very special guests, both Lacey and Alex are here, two listeners who have committed to the work offered in Misunderstood, the book Misunderstood, Rewriting the Rules of Dignity and Self-Respect, helping them work on their boundaries, commodities, and this SOS toolbox. Ladies, I want to welcome you again and certainly thank you for showing up and sharing your experience. Thank you. You've each done a lot of work with the resources offered in Misunderstood, and you've read the book, you've taken the time, you've learned about all of the commodities and the boundaries. You just shared a little bit about spending your time, energy, and your effort. I wonder now if we dove into a conversation more about boundaries. What are you noticing? Like, what are the changes maybe before you started this work and you learned so much about why boundaries are important, all the different categories, how to start setting them, and you start to recognize now kind of like muscles, like how have you strengthened over the course of time in being able to recognize your boundaries and actually set them?
I can start with that. I've noticed it a lot lately with, I mean, everything from romantic relationships to friends to family to career. But lately I've noticed a lot of growth for myself in my career, setting boundaries with employees and managers, and kind of knowing when to kind of put my foot down on certain things, so that from the beginning I can set in stone, you know, where I will be putting my time and my energy and owning it, that it's mine, and versus like a shared energy and shared time, even though, you know, we are working as a team to run a business and offer services, et cetera. But it's still a work in progress, but all the tools and the material and the work that I constantly do through Misunderstood and with Allison, I feel like I've been able to, you know, grow those boundaries a lot more from when I started.
How would you identify yourself before, Alex? Like, how would you have maybe a word or phrase for your boundaries or maybe lack of boundaries?
I would say I just kind of thought that, you know, if my job is to be an assistant, that with that role, you take on everything. You have to do everything for the boss.
Gotcha.
You got to get it done.
So almost like no boundaries.
Yeah, no boundaries. Yeah.
Lacey, how about for you?
I definitely had no boundaries. I very much operated as a people pleaser. Mm-hmm. I felt like other people's needs or other people's requests were way more important than my own. And I would, I would try to honor what everyone else wanted, but that would eventually hurt me. It would cause me to shut down. It would cause me to, to not have my needs met.
Yeah. I also feel like I had like a burnout and I wasn't able to like actually get the work done because I was doing so much for so many other people. It was exhausting.
Well, it shows the good point about commodities that if we had a fuel tank and we ran it, to empty, we would recognize I'm out of gas, right? Or if we had a budget, maybe we had $1,000 and we spent and spent and spent and spent and spent, we would recognize the depletion that happens. And yet oftentimes with energy or with effort, we kind of we're like, I should just give more. I just have to do this. I have no choice. And we're overspending this energy and this valuable commodity, kind of like to your point, that you become exhausted or overwhelmed or kind of just the sacrificial element that works against you and thinking again that it's what you have to do or what you should be doing. And some of it sounds like you started to again take some self-responsibility, but also some awareness of like, what am I doing? And in that tool of self-honoring, aligning your behavior by pushing back and actually setting some boundaries. Lacey, do you have like a perspective? You said no boundaries. Could you summarize maybe like a word or a perspective about what your boundaries might have looked like before some of this work?
Just non-existent. Yeah. I mean, nothing. I was a yes girl. Like, what do you need? Yes, I'll do it. I'll make it happen. Or, I didn't know how to say no to people. Yeah. And I would find myself agreeing to things. And not even just, in a work situation, but in friendships or in relationships, I would agree to things I didn't want to do because I felt like I had to. Yeah.
Yep. Me too. And I felt like once I said yes to one, it was like a ripple effect. Like it just was never ending. And it's similar to that, like what we were saying earlier about attraction, like with romantic relationships, I was attracting friends that would just, take and take and take. Mm-hmm. And because I was giving and giving.
Right.
For ending.
And at that point, self-responsibility, you're doing it to yourself.
Yeah. Yes.
And not even knowing it.
Right.
Like somebody mentioned the idea of including everyone, right? I thought that was the thing that had to happen. And I would never want to be excluded. So why would I ever exclude anyone else without realizing what it was costing me to be that person? Yeah. So having this level of awareness and practicing boundaries and being more mindful of your budgetary expenses with time, energy, and effort, how does it feel?
I have been noticing, and I've been writing this down a lot lately too. I am like so much more joyful. Mm. It's not even happy. Like happy feels so situational, but it's pure joy. Like I will notice when I feel lit up. Whereas before I just really didn't know.
Yeah. Yep.
I think it's very empowering. It puts you more in the driver's seat of your own life. And then the things that happen because of the boundaries you're enforcing or the decisions that you're making are your own to own. Mm-hmm. If you're just following what everyone else is asking you to do and not having boundaries, then it's almost like resentment or, you kind of feel a sense of victimhood because you feel forced into something or like you have to do something.
Yeah. Yeah. Very true. Yeah. Good. So empowered and joyful. Yeah. Who doesn't want that? Oh, it's so fantastic. We have talked before about this SOS toolbox, the sense of self. And kind of understanding that when a lot of us start this work, it's kind of like, you know, this is kind of how we're showing up in the world, or maybe more like this. And really the goal of that SOS toolbox is to offer a solid sense of self. So some of the tools that we talk about: self-anchoring, self-awareness, self-compassion, self-defining. I go over and over and over these because I think they're really important to tune your attention to. Self-honesty, self-honoring, self-permission, which is totally fun, self-referencing, self-respect, and then self-responsibility. I wonder, ladies, since you have taken the time to really practice these tools, and you've read the material and you've taken the courses and all of that kind of stuff, you've had some experience and practice with the toolbox by now. I'm wondering, how well equipped do you feel for navigating life? If you had to identify, kind of the same as before and after when we talked about your boundaries, if you had to consider yourself before you started doing this work, how well equipped did you really feel versus what's different now?
I actually remember my first session with you. I had said, I will never forget this. You had asked me, you know, what brought me here today? Mm-hmm. And I said, well, I feel a little shaky, but I just think that I need, you know, tools to like function and process all these emotions that I'm feeling that I don't even know what the definitions of these emotions are. Mm-hmm. Little did I know, I'm still here today. I'm still very eager to learn more. Mm-hmm. But I definitely, it's pretty crazy how different of a life I'm living since I started. And in a beautiful way. And I just feel like I'm awake.
Oh, wow. Awake. Yeah. I mean, again, isn't that part of the goal too, to be in tune and conscious of our own life? Awake. Yeah. Cool.
You know, for me, it's like before the SOS toolbox, I didn't have, you know, the tools to deal with my life. You know, for me, I think self-anchoring has been huge. Mm-hmm. Allison, I know we've talked about this before, but I feel emotions very big.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would have this sense when these big emotions would start to kind of creep in, something that I kind of labeled going to the bathroom floor, which would be all of these big emotions just kind of crushing me down and me not knowing, you know, just closer and closer to the bathroom floor. You know, not knowing how to anchor myself, not knowing how to climb out of it, not knowing, you know, not being able to do that for myself. And, you know, I would find myself not being able to function. I would take up hours of, you know, my family members' time on the phone, you know, not even knowing what I needed. And just kind of having those tools and being able to anchor myself now has been life-changing.
Mm, beautiful. Yep. And I remember in actually one of the classes that you took, that's, you had mentioned that bathroom, going to the bathroom floor, and all the other women were like, I know, me too. This awareness that sometimes we just crumble under the weight of the world because we're working so hard to do things in such dysfunctional ways and not having a clue. And some of the work that a lot of people are doing these days is this work on being an empath, that it's a beautiful dynamic in the world. And yet oftentimes when people are so empathic, they're sponging emotions and situations from people and realizing that they don't know how to anchor in and allow other people to have, it's like standing on shore while other people are doing what they need to do in the deep end, and knowing how to move emotion and stay solid in your energy so you don't get swept up. And so self-anchoring, it's been really powerful to watch you practice that tool and realize that you can stand firm in the face of not only self-anchoring is cool because it's not only about your ability to do that, but also to withstand other people's emotion, right? So you don't get sucked in and you don't drown in the own power of your emotions.
I was going to say that I know I feel my own emotions big too, but I actually have noticed, especially as of late, I feel other people even more, like even bigger, and truly like take it on me. And if I'm not able to self-anchor and ground myself, then the next person who comes in the room and they're feeling a different thing, it'll just layer on and it'll keep going and going and going.
Right.
By the time I get home and I'm in my own emotions, I'm like, I don't even know what I am feeling.
Yeah.
It's right. I'm not self-anchored.
Yep.
Do you feel like it's also made it so much more obvious when other people don't have these tools? Yes. I will have, you know, not even necessarily close friends, but, you know, acquaintances who I will see having some kind of reaction, or they will voice, you know, a situation or a problem they're having. And I'm thinking, you might need to read a book.
Right. I will say to them, I'm like, well, you need to just anchor yourself and ground right. yourself. And they're like, what? How? Yeah. Read.
People have said, you know, this stuff needs to be taught. Like, these are basic yeah. life skills. And I say, I share my story over and over and over again, because I am in this field. I have a master's degree, right? Like, I was immersed in this work, and I did private practice for so many years before I realized, like, wait a minute, how do we do this thing called life? And so the answer is absolutely. I mean, obviously I see people a lot, but this idea that people really feel very ill equipped, which is why I think people are medicated, sometimes to an extreme, drinking, drugging, shopping, sexing, you know, whatever it might be, because they're trying to manage all this stuff that they don't know how to manage. I wonder, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. Do you have a favorite tool? Anything that really stands out as one that you kind of recognize, like, oh, I feel pretty firmly planted with this one, or I really like to use this one?
I feel attached almost to self-awareness. I feel like it is the first, it was the first thing that you even taught me about, you know, first you have to have the awareness, then acceptance, then action. And yeah. I've always wanted to jump to action, still do sometimes. But in order to even get there in the first place, you have to have self-awareness. Mm. And that has been like it's been grounding in and of itself for me, especially, you know, since I started all of this work over a year ago.
I think one of your favorite questions is, well, what do I do? Right. and the idea that we back that up a little bit. Well, first of all, what's actually going on? What's happening inside of you? You know, can you get yourself anchored, and what's your part in this? And, you know, there's just so many pieces and parts. And I think that oftentimes people are jumping to that action step. And I compare it in some other courses that I teach about, like going to the fridge and not knowing what you're hungry for. People are just randomly doing behaviors or having conversations or doing lots of different things without first starting with this element of what's actually going on. So absolutely, self-awareness. And to me, it's like somebody said, getting in the driver's seat, right? To me, that's just like, oh, what's going on? Where am I going? What are the conditions, so that you know how to move forward? So self-awareness for you. Okay.
I think for me, it's self-honesty. Probably because that was a big one that we talked about and tried to deal with earlier when, you know, I was talking to you and you were saying, I don't think you're really being honest with yourself about what's going on here. And that was probably a turning point where I started to realize I need to be honest with myself about what's going on here. If I'm not honest with myself about these situations or these relationships that I'm getting myself into, how am I ever going to improve that?
Yeah. Wow. Self-honesty. Do you have any idea what was underneath? I don't know if that's the right way to say it, but like, what was up with the self-deception? Like, why do you think it was so hard for you to be honest with yourself?
I think for me personally, I didn't want to be alone. I was very uncomfortable with aloneness. And so I was willing to deceive myself that these relationships that I were getting into were way better than they were.
Yeah, gotcha. Because what I think self-honesty does is allow you to move up the ladder a little bit more into self-honoring and self-respect. Because so often what I find is that people are selling themselves out, right? They're compromising, or they're misaligned with things that really don't fit and are not in their best interest, because for whatever reason, they don't want to be divorced. They don't want to be alone. They don't want to look bad. They don't want to be a fool, you know, whatever. There's so many reasons underneath people's tendency to be self-deceptive. But whatever the driving force is that people will often do things that makes them dishonor themselves, which starts the cycle all over again. So I love the fact that you're talking about kind of these rungs of the ladder, so to speak, of self-awareness being the starting point, self-honesty being this hard call to reality, so that then you can really start to take some responsibility, self-honoring, self-respect, self-responsibility. You can start to see how they all come together to be like, you might have a really hard call. One of the things I say to people a lot of times is, I don't care if you're not ready to leave a relationship. Like, we'll just use that example. If it's a horrible relationship and you are not ready to get out, you don't want to be divorced, you don't want to be alone, you don't want to spend Christmas by yourself, whatever it might be, you don't want your kids to face that. It's totally fine to not be ready to take an action. Just be mindful not to BS yourself, right? It's okay to say, this is a horrible relationship and I'm not ready to do anything differently. That's still self-honesty. Self-honesty doesn't mean you have to take a behavior or align with a different action. It's just being willing to be honest with yourself so that you can come to terms with reality. Yeah, very cool stuff. I've been told that some of the work that I offer should come with a warning. Whoop, 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 right? Because especially, Alex, you mentioned self-awareness. It's kind of hard to unsee or to become unknowing of certain things. Often when you're aware, you like are just aware, and it's important to be able to continue to move forward. I wonder for you, has there been any double-edged sword? Has there been any maybe toll or cost to making these changes in your life? Have you noticed as much strength and empowerment that you start to feel, has there been any kind of other side that's like, oh, that's challenging for you in dealing with any of these tools?
Yes, in the sense that, you know, to your point, you know, once you see something, you can't unsee it. And I started to feel bad for myself, like the little kid inside of me, where I like looked at myself and I was like, gosh, that is so hard. Like I can't believe that you have gone through that or still going through that. Mm-hmm. But that compassion, like looking at my inner child, which is self-compassion, it only helps drive you further. Mm-hmm. And like keep asking, you know, keep pushing to grow yourself. And it has definitely encouraged me to, you know, take on and make really hard, scary decisions, you know, ending friendships or relationships, jobs, etc. But there hasn't been one instance that I regret. At this point, I can't say that I would ever go backwards.
Wow, fantastic. So challenging and maybe sad in some ways, but not regretful, not the idea of oh, how did this happen? Or I can't believe. It's more the idea of yes, and like, yes, this has been hard and it's been so necessary.
It feels like I'm getting even closer to like, to myself. Like it's just peeling away, like keep peeling. Mm-hmm. And it's inspiring, like good. In and of itself.
Yeah. I think that's why this was the next step of the journey, is authentically living life your way, is because to show up authentically without these tools, I mean, that's like worlds apart, right? Like I'm the people pleaser, codependent, enabling person who has no boundaries and no sense of self, but I'm going to authentically live life my way. Who would know how to do that? That's kind of these building blocks that I hear you saying.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool. Okay. How about for you, Lacey? Double-edged sword?
I think it's been sad. Having these tools now, you know, it's empowering to be able to move forward and to use these tools to kind of navigate your way through life. But for me, it's been a lot of reflection on the past as well. Mm-hmm. Kind of looking back on, you know, a lot of things through a different lens and through having like the skills to recognize behaviors for what they were, you know, and it can change memories. I mean, sometimes things that seemed like they were okay, now that you're looking at it, you know, having these skills and having this awareness, it's like, yeah, that wasn't okay. So that piece of it has been sad, but you know, it's definitely better to move forward with them.
I think you bring up a good point, though, that sometimes there's grief work associated with this. Oh, yeah. Like we've lived a lot of years, some more than others, right? Some of us have had a little more years of the practice of the dysfunction, that there is a level of sadness and regret, which is why I think self-compassion and self-honoring are so important, because no one does these things because they want to be unhealthy, or we learn these capacities. And I talk about that a little bit in Misunderstood, that most parents are just trying to teach their kids to, your mom was trying to teach you how to be a kind person. She had compassion for that little girl who was playing by herself, but the imprint that those messages have, and again, maybe being an empath, kind of this idea that we take a message like this. I write about an experience where I was ridiculed by some peers, you know, or called a show off, and how that imprinted my sense of self and my willingness to show up. It's seeing this lens of grief and compassion to be able to understand, not to blame anybody, but to understand how these individual experiences really did shape. So, and I think the piece that feels really empowering to me is knowing I don't have to be 90 doing that work, right? I don't have to look on my deathbed going, oh, this life of mine, you know, and the pain and the ridicule and the resentment that I felt. I have some grief. I've done a lot of grief work about the decisions I've made. And now this empowerment of like, what's next, right? So with that being said, I'm curious about something, two things before we wind up for today. Is there anything that you really would acknowledge for your younger self, the self that existed before you did this work? That's one question. And then the second question would be, any encouragement for readers? If they're hearing your experiences or they're just beginning this, what would you say to your younger self? And also, what kind of inspiration or encouragement would you like to give some of the listeners?
I think one of the biggest things for me was, you know, especially when you're younger, I remember when I was younger, I wanted so badly to be a grown up. I wanted to be an adult. And because I thought, once I'm a grown up, I can have my own opinions and my own thoughts. And my own choices and all of the above. The funny thing is that even prior to all this work, I was not operating that way. I didn't have my own opinions or even my choices, because I was similar, like a people pleaser. I was doing everything for everybody else. I didn't even know what I wanted ever. and so looking back, I would tell myself to just do your best. And, you know, it's a lot of the self-compassion. Like, yeah, it's okay to not agree with everybody. Mm-hmm. And it's okay if things change and if they're hard. Mm-hmm.
So kind of like some self-defining and some self-referencing that you would kind of encourage, yeah, yourself to use yourself as your own best guide. Like kind of, it's really okay. You are allowed to have boundaries, or you are allowed to have a difference of opinion. And you're doing that with a much more gentle voice. What I find in the work that I do, and I have certainly been guilty of this, is that critic, right? Is that instead of self-compassion, mm-hmm, we learn self-ridicule or self-shaming, like all these other elements. And hopefully we wouldn't tolerate that type of behavior on the outside. We wouldn't put up with someone speaking to us. I mean, maybe we would, but hopefully we wouldn't. And yet we are often our own biggest critic, and we'll ridicule and humiliate and shame ourselves. And so what I hear you saying is you've learned to turn down the dial of that voice and allow it to be much more soft and gentle. And what I love about this is still accountable. It's not like you're like, oh, it's okay, darling. You know, all excuses for you. No worries. You really have some self-compassion, which is a soft, loving, gentle voice that also says, okay, so now what? We've got some work we got to do, or there's still some changes that need to be made. So you're able to use self-compassion along with self-responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool. Anything you would maybe suggest for readers or listeners?
I feel like I remember in the beginning you had told me about the book, and I was like, I need it now. Like, I need to start right now. So I downloaded the digital version, which was great. But as I've learned, having things in writing, and I'm a big advocate for journaling and just writing my thoughts and feelings down, and having it in person, you know, made a huge difference. Wow. I would recommend, I felt like I needed to go full speed ahead because I was at such a rock bottom. And what I've learned, even like going back and like, I still reference it all the time, going slowly, like one chapter at a time and really doing all the exercises, over and over again, almost. So if like I finished one chapter and process it, maybe do one more the next day, but then go back and just slowly, one foot at a time.
Yeah, cool. Because you bring up a good point, because misunderstood is more than just information. It's a little bit of my story and kind of how I got to the place I got. And then kind of this rebuilding of life and relationships and perspective. But it's also a workbook where you can actually fill out, and it's got tables about how to buy time and set boundaries and what do they look like and when is it okay to set them. Like, so there's so much information that as you build your toolbox, you actually have another reference point, or you can go back kind of based on what I know now, how can I go back and do some of the work to strengthen even more? So yeah. Take your time is what I hear you saying, kind of take it a step at a time to really do the work.
Yeah. I feel like I wanted to be okay so badly. I wanted everything to just be, you know, it didn't have to be perfect, but I needed it to be good. And it won't get there unless you go a little bit slowly and just be patient with yourself.
Yeah. Beautiful. Okay. Thank you. Lacey?
As far as what I would tell my younger self, or the advice that I would give to me prior to implementing these tools, is just to listen to yourself, or listen to myself, and be confident in myself. To learn how to be alone, and to learn who I am, and to stand up for myself, I think would be big. There are a lot of situations that I can reflect on where, you know, standing up for myself or not standing up for myself would change the trajectory of my life. And more likely than not, I didn't stand up for myself. And wish I had, but now I do.
Yeah. So kind of the acknowledgement of some of the choices that you made and how they set you on this course of where you are now. And again, same thing, maybe some grief work and some sadness about where you are. And yet, as you move forward, that self-responsibility and that self-honoring to be able to, and also probably a self-respect element that you're not going to tolerate some of those things that you used to tolerate, thinking that you had to.
Right. And I think that's big. I was just going to say, as far as listening to, you know, anyone listening who is contemplating buying this book or contemplating doing the work, do it. Don't wait. Get started. Get started now.
Just do it, like Nike, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Fantastic. Don't wait, right? Like just dive in.
Right.
Work. Yeah. Yeah. And the cool part is that you can do it at whatever pace. You know, I have the book, I have the workbook, there's online courses, there's in-person courses. Alex, you don't live near me. Lacey, you do, you know, so like the capacity to really embrace this material and take it in whatever capacity. Yeah. Thank you, ladies. It has absolutely been my honor. We just have a minute before we end. Is there anything else you want to say?
I don't have anything. Thank you so much for the invitation. It came at a perfect time. And for me, you know, I really feel like being here and hoping to encourage other people to do these things is a little bit of a final step for me.
Yeah. Fantastic. Kind of seals the deal, huh?
Yeah, me too. Yes. Yeah. It's encouraging and it's inspiring too. Makes me want to work harder.
Very good. Well, and it's also helpful to know, and I think you said this earlier, it's so helpful to know that you're not alone. Oftentimes people feel riddled with this sense that something is fundamentally wrong for them. And the truth is I think we've all been really misinformed. That's why misunderstood is the title. So it is absolutely my honor. It has been a privilege to watch the two of you travel your journey. And I feel like we get to grow and learn together and kind of share all of this material. And so I am just humble and so incredibly grateful, not only for the work and the transformation that I've been able to witness, but your willingness to share it in such a public format and just a ability to be seen and have your story heard. So certainly my honor to each of you. So you are listening to The Ally Effect. I want to thank both Lacey and Alex as they've taken the time to be with us today. If you're intrigued by any of the material that you've heard, or you very much want to just do it, please be in touch with me. You can do so on my website at allisonblythe.com. Send me an email, allisonblythe@live.com. We authentically live life your way. This is what we do and talk about in each time, offering you specific material about knowing how to deepen that walk so that you can go from that place that we were talking about, vulnerable, susceptible, confused, into actually having tools and resources. Please feel free to join me in 2 weeks when we gather again here on Transformation Talk Radio. I look forward to seeing you again. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in to The Ally Effect with Allison Blythe. The moment you decide to take control of your own well-being, you start the journey of authenticity. Tune in next time for more empowering conversations and practical tools to help you shed your fear, worry, comparison, and less than beliefs. Stick with us as you step into the driver's seat and head off onto the road of success and happiness. Your best life awaits.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.